Welcome to Cave Voice. This is the Resistance.
But in the end, we should be able to form the majority that we are to resist, stand up, and fight back.
Stand up, fight back!
Stand up, fight back, and create a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%.
But on these core issues about treating every single human being in this country with dignity, on that we stand up and we fight back. We do not back down. We do not compromise. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. For me, that's the starting place on how to understand what's happened to us.
Hello, thank you for listening to my show. This is Kelly the Voice with K-Voice of Resistance. I'm Kelly the Voice because I do the voiceovers for the Crab Diving Podcast on the Crab Diving Network. That's www.crabdiving.com. One word, crab diving. You can find my show, as well as other great programming, on the Crab Diving Network. You can also find me on my Facebook page, in which I will be posting good information and resources for resistance. And that's at facebook.com/KVoiceOfResistance. I'm also on Twitter at Kelly the Voice. It was a busy weekend for the resistance as marches and rallies were held across America. Saturday was a big day for immigration rallies and no ban, no wall, no raid protest. I attended one in downtown LA. Thousands marched and chanted and rallied before City Hall. I also had a great interview with a girl from the UK who is starting an arts and activism show. And on Sunday, I went to a town hall of sorts with Congresswoman Karen Bass in LA. For her PAC, Sea Change. Sea Change is working towards mobilizing the community to resist the Republican administration. We covered lots of good information, and it was packed all the way to the back. Me and my friend had to sit on the floor in the back. I took notes with a bunch of children that were sitting back there as well. And we drank coffee and tea and cookies. And we heard about the ACA and ways to change it and the need to flip local elections. We need 24 seats to retake the House, so Democrats have a lot of work to do. It was a great activism-filled weekend for me. And yesterday, Not My President protest marched across our country. Congress is in recess. Find a town hall near you. If you need help doing that, go to the Town Hall Project online. The Town Hall Project is a convenient way to find your local town hall. If you go to my Facebook page, I have a link to it. That's at K-Voice of Resistance. Also, if you're looking for a protest or other resistance activities on my Facebook page as well, I have posted a page from Michael Moore that lists all upcoming resistance activities. That's at theresistancecalendar.org. It's time we as liberals, Democrats, and progressives start acting like winners, don't you think? You want to know why? Because we did win. We are the majority.
She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Stand up, fight back!
A good friend of mine listened to my podcast. He had a few constructive criticisms, but one of the main ones was, he said it didn't sound like his friend Kelly talking to him. He wanted to know if I was trying to sound like a reporter or trying to stay detached. And I suppose I am. I suppose I have been. You see, I'm nobody special. I don't have an education in civics. I don't have a background in reporting or politics of any kind. I'm just a very normal, very average person who's been thrown for a loop, knocked upside the head, and blown away by recent events. I've always been very invested in politics. It's with me, with my family. It's a hobby. It's our sports. We watch debates with chips and drinks, and we discuss everything. But it's more than that. I am so emotionally invested in this country and in where this country goes. And I have been for much of my adult life. When I was a teenager, I did the very unlikely thing for me, if you know me, and I was in a beauty pageant. My platform was gun control. Now, I don't know if you know anything about beauty pageants, but gun control is an incredibly controversial choice for the type of personalities that will be judging and running a beauty pageant. I've never been a go-along, get-along person. I'm very passionate, and I've always felt a need to speak out, and I have my parents to thank for that. My parents, who have been fighting for what's right in one way or another their entire lives. My mom used to work in the fields picking fruits and nuts to bring in the harvest. When she was 14, she used to teach English to the migrant workers, and she used to fight for their rights. And she fought for women's rights her whole life. And my dad, who was in political groups and take to the streets whenever is necessary. Now, we're no one special. My family is just like every other average family, just trying to get by. We're neither rich nor poor. We are world traveled. While my parents never had a lot of extra money, what extra money we did have, we spent on vacations, and I will be forever grateful for that. I've been to the Dominican Republic and to Honduras and Hong Kong and Thailand and most of all Haiti. I've seen third worlds. I know what it can be like. I know what it can look like, and I am so grateful to live in this country with everything we have. But I also know that that can be lost, and I know the value of it. I've never been idealistic about this country. I don't see it as the shining city on the hill. I don't necessarily believe in American exceptionalism. I think we do a lot of bad stuff, and I think this country is a mess, and its politics are backsliding, and economically we are so rich, but with the income gap spreading, we are at a risk of losing a lot. Things need to get fixed, and they need to get fixed soon. This is a grand experiment, and I'm very invested in maintaining my style of life, and I'm very invested in expanding the rights of others. My hope for this show is to use it to help stay sane. Selfishly, but to kind of, I wish to take you on a ride with me through our system from the view of a normal person. I hope to share with you all the things I learn from people who are smarter than me. Yes, I may draw some of my own conclusions, but they are drawn from the insane, frankly, amount of reading I do from much smarter, much more educated people. People with IQs and educations that I can't even dream of. The night of the election, I had hope and expectations, but I was afraid. And when things became apparent that she wasn't going to win, and I was a Hillary supporter, and I loved Bernie, so don't get mad at me. I loved Bernie, but in the end, I was a Hillary supporter who had been very deeply affected by all the women's issues that I had really woken up to. I woke up to the misogyny. I woke up to my own misogyny. I woke up to this desire to actually see something I didn't think possible happen, and that was a woman president. And I looked over at my mom, who I'm not sure ever believed she would see it in her lifetime. I looked over at her as it became very apparent that Hillary Clinton was not going to win. And it broke me. I saw my mom's face and I knew she wasn't going to see. I felt like the country had betrayed us. I felt like the country had betrayed itself. And thankfully, in the end, she won the popular vote. So no, this country did not betray us. But that night, it felt like it. And I spent a week in mourning. And then I knew I had no other choice but to fight. Because I wasn't going to let fear and anxiety overwhelm. And I've never been the type to stick my head in the sand. And I am passionate. And I care far too much about other people and myself and this country to let things go. And the only way things don't feel out of control is if I try to fix them, and if I try to fix them, then I can trick myself into thinking that things are fixable, and you know what? They are. But it's not a light lift, and it's going to take many of us, and I hope you all feel that way too. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to take you with me, Because it's normal people now. It's normal people who are going to save this republic. We are the ones who are going to save this republic. But we have to work for it. We have to care enough about it. And we can't pretend that everything's going to be okay because it won't. This is a grand experiment. Remind yourself that this country, this democracy is an experiment. And right now it's a failing one. Unless we want to go down like the Romans, we need to step up because this is not normal. This is not okay. And we can do better. We are better than that. We have an amazing structure of institutions that if we can just get people to do their jobs and uphold their part, it can maintain and we can thrive. And the American dream can happen again, can be born again. We can become the ideal. We can become the shining city on the hill. We can do it. Okay, enough about that. Enough about me. I just wanted you to know why I'm here. This is about what we do next. And this is about normal people. Speaking of normal people, last week I explained that it is not the president of these United States that holds the most powerful office. It is the PCP, or the precinct committee person. To recap, to change things, you have to change the law. To change laws, you have to change the people who make them. To be elected, your candidate must be on the ballot. To get on the ballot in a general election, you have to be nominated for an office in a party primary election or a convention. Candidates endorsed by the party usually win the primary election. Primary endorsements are often made by the party's county committee or township committee, etc., which is elected by the precinct committee person of the party. It is easy to be elected the precinct committee person. Therefore, the precinct committee person is the most powerful office in the world because precinct committee persons determine who gets the chance to be elected to office at every level of government. Therefore, the precinct committee person is the most powerful office in the world because precinct committee person determines who gets the chance to be elected to office at every level of government. Remember, if your candidate is not on the ballot, he will not be elected. Okay, this is something I've been wanting to read to you for some time. An old friend of mine from college wrote something just after the election describing his experience and what he launched into doing after our world got upended. State and local action is where he wanted to focus. He lives in Colorado. He goes into calling our representatives to be sure to call their home office and not their DC office, to volunteering, to donating when and where you can. And he has a great idea of disabling your ad blocker when on liberal independent media sites. This will help them to generate revenue. And of course, subscribe to local papers, check in with what is going on locally. Now, he's of the opinion that phone calls and letter writing, while great, are reactionary actions. He says they can respond to crises, but what we should be doing is getting proactive. Let's get progressives back in the game. Progressives need to stop letting other people take the lead. This is from him. Want to run for office? Awesome. So you don't want to run for public office? Cool. Neither do I. So what can we do? Go to a meeting, you damn socialist. No, seriously, look up your local Democratic office's website and attend a meeting of your house district. They typically have several small policy-specific meetings a month, but only one meeting for your specific house district. Mine has a page for both party activities, literally how you can help, and house districts, which told me exactly where and when my house district would meet next. So I went to the meeting. I didn't know what to expect. I went alone. I was apprehensive. How can I help? What can I possibly add to this conversation? What can I say that they're not already saying and doing? And childishly even, what if no one wants to talk to the new guy? The meeting was their first since the election, so they were celebrating a bit. We may have lost the big one here in Colorado, but we got a lot of progressive measures passed. He goes into electing the first female DA, re-electing the U.S. Senator, all the way to having a 90% turnout per precinct in the district. Colorado's doing good, guys. And then he goes on to say, I look forward to the next meeting because, frankly, that went on a bit too long before they got to the heart of the meeting. Where do we go from here? Besides that, however, it was eye-opening. Two of our state senators were there along with a representative who had just come back from a meeting hosted by Elizabeth Warren with Eric Holder, who was there to talk about how he and the president are going to team up to work closer with the state and local level politics to build them up in preparation for midterm elections. It was good. I went in feeling like I knew something about politics, realizing I knew very little, really, and learning a ton in the end. I'm eager to hear what other states are doing and how they will approach the next 2 to 4 years. When it came time for questions, concerns, and ideas, it was already late in the meeting, so I have to believe that that will be a larger part of future meetings. Now that the potluck was out of the way, there was cake too, and I felt like I was back in Sunday school. Fittingly, my meeting was in a church assembly hall. Religion and politics are closely aligned on both sides of the aisle, no matter how you feel about it. I still felt unsure of what I could add. I feel like a baby in this room of 60 to 75 people, most of whom were well into their 60s and seemed to have been doing this their whole lives. So I didn't speak up. But another guy, who was coming to his first meeting, did. He said he was really happy to have come to the meeting, and he'd learned a lot, and he would be back. That he was there because Donald Trump scared the hell out of him, and he was concerned about undemocratic ideas like super delegates that seemingly diverted the will of the people. I loved that dude in the moment. His name is James. The chairwoman of our House district was leading the meeting, and she told him that superdelegates were an important part of the process, that she disagreed with him on that point, and that's when I made a decision. As I said, I came in alone, and after a bit of time sitting by myself, unsure of what to do, I leaned to the introverted side of things. A woman smiled at me and asked if she could sit with me. We talked about how scared we were after the election, how, for her, it had solidified something she's considered doing for a while. She'd been to a few meetings before the election and was asked if she wanted to be a precinct committee person. After she cried over the results of the election, she said yes. So this was her first meeting as a PCP. I'd never heard of it. This is an excellent, and I can't stress it enough how important it is that you read this to understand what comes next, article dealing in depth on what a PCP does and how they can literally change the face of politics. Now, the article he posts is partially what I read to you earlier about what a PCP is and what they do. Now, I'm going to post this article on my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance. And yes, it's from Phyllis Schlafly's website, Eagle Forum. So there's a bit liberal idea bashing. But it's an excellent breakdown on how crazy influential PCP can be in politics. Now consider that. I found the best info. This is back to his paper. Now consider that. I found the best information about what a PCP is and does on a hardcore conservative website. However you feel about the GOP, they are ruthlessly organized and active in local party politics. I never heard of a Young Democrats organization when I was growing up. Maybe, hopefully, there are now, but Young Republican clubs were at every school I attended. After my new friend Amy and I talked a bit more politics and swapped stories about our kids, we got invited over to a new table. Beckoned was more like it. Cleo was the grand dame of the party, but had been all around the block in just about every position there was in the party. While Skip was a PCP and was national delegate for Bernie Sanders in Philly, he'd met with Keith Ellison while he was there and was hoping to be named to some committee or something should Keith win the chair at the DNC. I didn't catch it all because I didn't understand all the terms he was throwing out there. He was incredibly polite and talked through many questions with me. They taught me a great deal, and I know I have more to learn. Skip and Cleo were keen to know exactly which precinct I was from, so we figured it out. Your House district. While it may differ slightly from state to state, how it is broken up, you almost certainly have a representative in both the national and the state House representatives from your House district. So your House district is broken into smaller graphic areas called precincts. In my state, there are up to 2 PCPs per precinct. There may be hundreds of precincts in your state, and each can have up to 2 representatives. At my House district meeting, I learned that many of our precincts were orphaned, having no one to represent them. So the link that I will have on my Facebook page, the one from Phyllis Slathley's page, describes an election process for some PCP positions. And that may be true, but according to my new friends, Cleo and Skipped, it could literally just volunteer and become a PCP for my own precinct should it be vacant. I met with the chair of my House district after the meeting and did that. I didn't feel like that was a great time to let her know that her comment about superdelegates, which made me feel like the playing field between Clinton and Sanders was uneven. All credit to her for not needing them in the end, regardless of any influence from the DNC, is what ultimately sealed the deal for me. Look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to write or read a bill. I'm not interested in running for office. But if I can become a PCP, a meeting with my HD chair for coffee in January, then I can have a say on who we elect to the party chair and other positions of power within the Democratic Party of Colorado in the meeting scheduled for February. I can have a say in who the party nominates and endorses in the primary races. So in turn, we'll propose the legislation we, the people, want. And so can you. Do it soon. Only Central Committee members, PCP party officers, and Democratic elected officials who are Denver residents will be voting for our county House district and Senate district officers, as well as various committee positions. There's no time to waste. Read that article. Read that article. Read that article. Yeah, it's getting involved, which maybe feels a bit wonky to you now. But go to your House district meeting. It's probable you will get to talk to a local or state elected official. It's certain you'll meet like-minded people who are fed up with the bullshit and want to see real change. You should talk to them. You will learn something. I do suggest going alone the first time, especially if you're not one of those extroverted people who are completely comfortable talking to strangers. It'll force you to talk to someone. Next time, you can bring a friend. Next time, you should bring a friend. We need to get involved at the local level to bring about the change we want to see in the world. Go to any open sessions of your city council, and if you're close to a state capital like I am, go to the Senate and House sessions if something important is happening. You can typically get an invite by asking your representative. Look, I'm not saying don't call, don't write, don't donate. Do that stuff. But it's not enough, not anymore. That's what we've been doing. It's time to step up your commitment to the values you profess over the media. Don't let them register Muslims or deport millions of illegal immigrant families. Don't let them slowly kill abortion rights or roll back the right to marry of our LGBTQ Americans. Don't let them destroy the things you're passionate about. Don't say you can't make a difference. This is not normal. So now is the time to break out of our moldy comfort zones and take a stand before it's too late. Okay, I hope you got something out of that. I think it's important to continue to share what normal people are doing in their own resistance fights. Remember to catch my show as well as the other great programming on the Crab Diving Network, iTunes, and Stitcher as well. I'm just about out of time. Before I go, just a few reminders. Remember to use his name sparingly so not to detract from the issues. While we are focused on him, we are prone to neglect the questionable policies that threaten freedom, justice, and fairness advanced by the administration. Remember that this is a regime and he is not acting alone. Focus on his policies and not his appearance or his mental state. Try to keep your message positive. Those who oppose peace and justice want this country to be angry and fearful because this is the soil from which their darkest policies will grow. No more helpless, hopeless talk. Support artists and the arts. Be careful not to spread fake news. Take care of yourselves. And as always, resist.
Know your place.
She was warned.
Shut up and smile.
She was given an explanation.
Don't spread your
nevertheless.
Lips.
She persisted.
I can't keep quiet.